read just one verse for our scripture reading this morning. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, where the Bible says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes upon thee. This verse was spoken by King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat was a king when the nation of Israel was divided into the southern kingdom and to the northern kingdom, and he was the king of the southern kingdom, a good king. In fact, in 2 Chronicles 17, you don't need to turn to it, but the Bible says this about Jehoshaphat, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments. What Jehoshaphat did is he read the Bible that they had at that point, and he obeyed it. He did what God said. And it says in chapter 17, verse 6, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. The high places and the groves were where the people of God, when they turned away from him, worshiped false gods. They were idols. And God says, he said in the book of Exodus when he gave Moses the Ten Commandments, have no other gods before me. And so when Jehoshaphat went into these places and tore down the groves of trees and the high places where they worshiped these false gods, God was up in heaven and he smiled. He was pleased with Jehoshaphat. Because you see, God hasn't changed. He tells us today, as he told his people back then, he says, if you'll honor me, if you'll stay in this book and you'll read this book and you'll obey this book, I will bless you. And God certainly did that for Jehoshaphat. The Bible tells us that he gave him peace in chapter 17 of 2 Chronicles, verse 10. And the fear of the Lord fell upon the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. God, because Jehoshaphat honored him, because he tried to live his life in a way that was pleasing to God, God blessed him with peace all around. Nobody made war with this king. But more than that, God also gave him riches. In chapter 17, verse 12, and Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles and cities of store. And so God blessed him. He had to build places to put him. God gave him peace, and all because Jehoshaphat tried to obey God and do what God said. But then something happened. Jehoshaphat got mixed up with the wrong crowd. The Bible says in chapter 18 of 2 Chronicles, now Jehoshaphat joined affinity with Ahab. Ahab was from the northern kingdom. He was a wicked king. He married a girl named Jezebel, and Jezebel led him and led the nation to worship the god Baal. And the Bible says about Ahab, he was one of the wickedest kings that ever lived. In fact, I think it says he was the most wicked king that led the nation of Israel. And by the way, bad always brings down good. So I'll say to the teenagers that are here, be careful who your friends are. Listen to mom and dad when they try to advise you or when they tell you who should be your friends. Because, you know, sometimes they can see things that you cannot. And if you get hooked up with the wrong crowd, there's going to be consequences to pay. There was in Jehoshaphat's case. He joined up with Ahab, and Ahab said, hey, you know, we're buddies now. Will you go with me into this battle? There's this place called Ramoth-Gilead, one of in Old Testament times, Ramoth-Gilead was one of the cities of refuge. And some people had taken it away from Israel, the northern kingdom. And Ahab wanted to go and get it back. And he talked to Jehoshaphat and said, hey, you go with me. Let's fight this battle. Let's win this battle. Let's take this city back. And so they got ready to go to war, and Jehoshaphat said, isn't there a prophet of God here that we could talk to before we go into this battle? Well, Ahab didn't know any prophets of God except for one. He called the prophets of Baal. 400 of them. 400 of them. And every single one of them said, yeah, you guys go to war because God's going to be with you and he's going to help you recover this city. And Jehoshaphat looked at all these guys and said, Ahab, isn't there just at least one prophet of God that we could talk to before we go into battle? And Ahab said, yeah, there's one guy, but I don't like him because he never tells me what I want to hear. You know, there's a lot of people picking out preachers that way today. They won't pick a preacher that tells them what they don't want to hear. They'll pick a preacher that tickles their ears and tells them what they want to hear. And so Jehoshaphat said, hey, let's just talk to God about this. Oh, all these other guys, they're prophets of Baal. Let's get a prophet of God. And Ahab said, well, I know this one guy. I don't like him because he never does tell me what I want to hear. So I called this guy. And this guy said, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead in the battle. You're going to lose. And Ahab said, I told you. He would not tell me what we want to hear. Micah said, I think his name was Mike, he said, go ahead, go on into battle, because you're going to lose. And that's exactly what happened. They went into battle, and they were defeated. Ahab was killed. A lot of the army that belonged to Jehoshaphat that he brought along on this excursion were killed and wounded. And now Jehoshaphat was in a time when he was trying to recover from that battle. Again, some of his army was killed, some of them was wounded, and he was trying to build his army back up. And in chapter 20, we read where a great number of people rise up against Jehoshaphat. Again, this was a king that God had given peace, but because he joined up with Ahab, God brought punishment upon him. And here comes this great multitude of people to fight this king who's trying to rebuild his army. That's the context in verse 12. That's the context when he says, O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. And then I want you to notice this phrase. Because this next phrase is the sermon, the title of my sermon and the theme of my sermon this morning. Neither know we what to do. Jehoshaphat said, I don't know what to do. My army is wounded. My army is, you know, has been decimated by this war that I went into Ahab. And here comes this great company against us. We're outnumbered. We're outgunned. And I don't know what to do. And this morning I want to preach a sermon entitled, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. What to do when you don't know what to do. You see, I think there's some of you here this morning that are in exactly in the same situation. Oh no, you're not fighting an army, you're not fighting a battle against an army, but you're in some kind of situation where you would say, if you were honest, I don't know what to do. This thing is happening in my life, and these circumstances are happening in my life, and I don't know what to do. I want to do something. I feel like I need to do something, but I don't know what to do. It may be a sickness. It may be a relationship problem. It may be something with you and your spouse, or it may be something with you and your children. It may be something with you and your friends. But there's some circumstance in your life this morning that if you were honest, you would say the same thing that Jehoshaphat did. Neither, I don't know what to do. I do not know. I feel like I need to do something, but I don't know what to do. This morning, I want you to look at three things that Jehoshaphat did. And I want to recommend to you this morning, if you're in a situation that you don't know what to do, you do these same three things. You may not be there now, but God may put you in this situation tomorrow. Or he may put you in this situation next week. Again, a situation where you have to say, I don't know what to do. What do I do? Look at what Joshua did. I mean, what Jehoshaphat, not Joshua, what Jehoshaphat did. He did three things. I'll point them out to you quickly this morning. Number one, he went to prayer. He prayed. In verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, and Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. The first thing that we need to do when we don't know what to do is pray. The first thing that we need to do when we don't know what to do is go ask somebody that does know what we need to do. And that somebody is God. You know what? Many Christians, and this may shock you, but I think it's absolutely true. Many Christians have not truly prayed since they got saved. Say, oh no, wait a minute, preacher, how can you say that? Because prayer is asking something from God and getting it. That's what prayer is. Many, many Christians, they prayed for salvation. They were a sinner, and they knew they were a sinner, and they knew there was nothing they can do about it. And they went to God in prayer, and they believed God's promises, and went to God in prayer, and asked Jesus to save them. And he saved them. But they've not asked God for anything since then and gotten it. Oh, yes, they've said some words. They've mumbled some words. They pray, you know, before they eat, and they pray before they go to bed. But prayer is asking something from God and getting it. Jehoshaphat said, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to lead my people to pray. And Jehoshaphat even gave his people and gives us an outline of how to pray. He gave us four or five different steps and said, hey, if you're going to pray, pray like this. Here's what he did. First of all, he reminded God that he was God. In verse 6, and Jehoshaphat said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Jehoshaphat went to God and said, God, you're God! None of these other gods that people are worshiping, not Baal, not all these idols, not these sticks and stones, none of them have the power that you do. You are God in heaven. You are God on earth. And you have all power. And you have all might. And so Jehoshaphat reminded God that he was God. The next thing he did, he reminded him how he had helped his people before. In verse 7, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gaveth it and the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? Jehoshaphat said, hey, remember, you're the God that brought us into this land in the first place. You're the one that promised it to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. We're Abraham's descendants. We're part of his family. You helped us before. The third thing he did was he reminded God of the promises that he has made. In verse 9, he says, you promised that if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, that if we stand before this house, before the temple in Jerusalem, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. He said, look, God, when this temple was built, when Solomon built this temple, you promised that when we got in trouble, when difficulties came into our life, when we got into situations that we don't know what to do, that if we face this house and pray to you, then you will hear and help us. He reminded God of the promises he has made. And by the way, that's why it's so important for us to memorize scripture. That's why it's so important for us to memorize the promises that God has made to us in this book. When we go to prayer, there's absolutely nothing wrong and absolutely everything right with holding up to God the promises that he's made in this book. You promised it in the book. You're a God that cannot lie. Let me remind you of your promises. And then the next thing he did, the last thing he did, he told God what he wanted. He says in verse 12, wilt thou not judge them? Wilt thou not judge this people that is coming against us? Will you not defeat them? So when you get into a situation that you don't know what to do, first thing you need to do is pray. 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 Remind God that he's God. Remind God that he's helped you before. Remind God of the promises that he's made to you. Claim those promises. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you need. Pray. Pray. Number two, what you need to do when you don't know what you do. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep looking to Him. In verse 12 that we read, the last part of that verse, Jehoshaphat said, "But our eyes are upon thee." Our eyes are upon thee. This king was saying the same thing that David said in Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Jehoshaphat was saying, like the writer of Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If we don't know what to do, if we're in situations where we want to do something, but we don't know what to do, pray. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on God. Because you see, if you keep your eyes on the Lord, it'll take your eyes off your problem. You know, Jehoshaphat and all his people, they could have looked at this great army that was coming against them, and they could have said, man, look at all these soldiers. There's hundreds of thousands of them. Just hundreds of thousands. And look at all the swords they got. And look at the spears. And look at the chariots. You see, if you keep your eye on the problem just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord and realize that He is bigger than any problem that comes our way. So put your eyes back on Him. When you keep your eyes on Him, you got your eyes off the problem. When you keep your eyes on Him, you got your eyes off yourself. Huh? There wasn't nothing Jehoshaphat could do. His army, a lot of them had been killed. They were wounded. They were recovering. He was in the process of rebuilding his army. There was nothing Jehoshaphat could do. You know, in most cases, when you're in a situation you don't know what to do, there ain't nothing you can do anyway. Ain't good English, but it's good preaching. There ain't nothing you can do. I know. Hey, we get into those such, I want to do something, but I don't know what to do. There ain't nothing you can do. Get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes off of other people. Because in most cases, if you don't know what to do, they don't know either. But there is one that knows. We need to put our eyes on Him. So when you get in that situation and you don't know what to do, pray. Pray. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And then number three, believe God. Believe God. In verse 20 of chapter, I'm sorry, in verse 20 of chapter 20, here's what Jehoshaphat said to the people. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And what Jehoshaphat said, look, we need to believe God. Because when Jehoshaphat went to God and brought this problem to God, God made some promises to Jehoshaphat. He said in verse 15, be not afraid or dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I wish I could stop right there. I wish I could spend 20 minutes and just stop right there. And I know, don't look at the clock. I only got 5 minutes left. I know time. I can tell time. But look, the battle's not yours. It's God's. You're in this situation because He wants you to draw closer to Him and trust Him more. God didn't put you in that situation so you could show your intelligence and your strength and your might. He put you in that situation so that you would turn to Him. It's His battle. It's not your battle. Don't try to fight it. Don't try to fight it. Keep your eyes on Him. Go to Him in prayer. And so he said, it's not your battle, it's mine. He said in verse 16, tomorrow go ye down against them. In verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you. Now here's what we tend to do. we go out against him, but we turn our eyes away from him. We put him on the enemy. But God, there are so many of them. Believe me, I told you it's not your battle. It's mine. I told you, don't fight it. I'll fight it for you. And we look at him, we see so many people, and we see so many weapons, and so many chariots. I'm sure Jehoshaphat and his people, if they would have put their eye on the enemy, they would have been dismayed. They would have been discouraged. But God said, look, don't put your eyes on them. Put your eyes on me and believe the promises that I made to you. This is not your battle. It's mine. You won't even need to fight. Just set yourself there and stand and watch what happens. Isn't that a wonderful truth? We get into those situations, and we sometimes want to do something. Michael, we want to do something. We want to grab a hold of somebody and shake somebody. We want to get involved in the situation and fix it and make it better. But we don't know what to do. And here's what God says. Hey, relax. Find your place to sit down. Just watch. Just watch what God does. Just watch what I'm going to do. This is not your battle. I'm going to fight it. Just stand back and see how I take care of it. You know what we do sometimes? We get ahead of God. He's already got a way he's going to fix it. He's already got a way that he's going to take care of it. And we get ahead of him. We run ahead of him and we try to do something. That's when God sits down and says, okay, bud, you think you got it? Go ahead. I'll watch and see how it comes out. And we get into trouble. We mess things up. God's already got the plan how he's going to fix it. He already got the plan. And what we need to do, instead of making him sit down by our action, we need to sit down and say, okay, God, I believe your promises. I believe this is your battle. I believe you're going to take care of it. I'm just going to watch. It's like you know, going to a sporting event and getting your pop and your popcorn and just sitting there and saying, okay, I just can't wait to see what God's going to do. I mean, we get so excited. I just can't wait to see how God's going to work. I know what I would do, but I'm just going to sit here, and we get excited, and we rock back and forth on our seat, and sometimes, hey, that's a good one, God. And we just sit there, and we watch, and he takes care of it. He takes care of it. Now, let me change directions on you for 2 minutes. If you're here today, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to do those same three things. But I'm going to reverse the order a little bit. You see, Jehoshaphat was one of God's children, and I've been talking to God's children this morning. I've been talking to Christians. When you get into a situation, you don't know what to do, here's what you need to do. You need to pray, you need to look to Jesus, and you need to believe his promises. But if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to do the same three things, but you need to do them in a different order. Number one, you need to look to God. Because the Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sin breaks our relationship with God. And there's nothing that you or I or anybody else can do to fix that relationship. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses, all the good that we might do in God's sight, are as filthy rags. And the Bible says it's not of works. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. So if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're a sinner on your way to hell, don't look at yourself. Don't look at other people. Don't look at this preacher. Don't look at this church. Because there's absolutely nothing that we can do for you. You look to God. You look to God. Because he loved us. Even when we were sinners, he loved us. And he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross in our place. So you look to him. Second, you believe. You believe his promises. He made a promise. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth in Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. When the Philippian jailer was talking to Paul and Silas and he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You're here this morning, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. You don't need to get baptized like Becca is in just a second. That's not going to save you. You don't need to come and join the church this morning. That's not going to save you. You need to believe the promises of God, who said, you believe on Jesus Christ, and I'll save you. You believe the promises of God when he said, he paid the price for your sin. If you'll trust him, he'll save you. So you need to look, you need to believe, and the third one, you need to pray. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you look to him. He's the only hope you have. You believe the promises that he died for you. He paid the price for your sins. And you call upon him, you pray, you ask him to save you. Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the punishment of sin, but I believe the promises that you have in this book, the promises that I would call upon Christ, you will save me. And I'm doing that today. Would you? Would you do that today? Would you call and ask Jesus to be your Savior? He says, whoever comes to me, I will no wise turn out. He won't turn in. You say, oh, preacher, but you don't know me. You don't know my sin. You're right, I don't know your sin, but I know your Savior, or I know the one that wants to be your Savior, and his blood will cover every sin, every sin, if you'll come and ask him. Let's pray together. Father, I pray if there's just one person here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that in the next few moments they'll look to him, and they'll believe the promises that are in the Bible. The promises that tell us how much you love us. The promises that tell us how you sent your son to die in our place to pay for our sins. The promises that if we call upon him, he'll save us. And I pray, Father, if there's just one here this morning that's never done that, that they'll believe those promises and they'll call out to Jesus and ask for his salvation. Father, I know most of us here this morning are Christians. We've already done that. We've made that decision. We've asked Jesus to save us, and we have a home in heaven. But Father, sometimes you put us in the valleys. Sometimes you put us in situations where we don't know what to do. I pray, Father, that we would look to you. I pray that we would depend on you. We would trust you. And so I pray, Father, for the Christians that are here that are in circumstances where they have to say, I don't know what to do. Help them to look toward you, to pray, and to believe your promises. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that you've led, you're leading to for baptism, I pray they would come this morning. If there's somebody here you're leading to join the church, I pray they would come this morning. We just give you this time of invitation, ask you to work. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.